of the kavana, the intention that a person has when we do a mitzvah. And we're explaining why is it so important not only to do the mitzvah actually, but also to do the mitzvah with the proper intention, the proper mental state, the proper emotional state, the proper attitude. And we explained that, of course, everybody understands this. If somebody is doing a favor for you and they're doing the favor mechanically, or even a little bit unwillingly, but they're doing the favor, so it doesn't really make you feel that happy. But if the person is doing the favor for you with a big smile on their face and they're all excited about it, then of course you feel happy, you feel good. And the same is true of any mitzvah that we do for Hashem. If we do a mitzvah, Hashem says, I want this to get done. So, you know, the fact is, if you need your house clean and the person comes in and cleans your house, you need your electricity fixed, your plumbing fixed, and your whatever, something, your car fixed, and the mechanic gives you an attitude, at least your car was fixed. But, you know, if you have a choice, you're going to go to a different mechanic. It doesn't give you an attitude. If you have a choice, you're going to hire a different cleaning crew that's not going to give you an attitude in your house. So Hashem is the same way. Hashem asks us to do mitzvahs. Now, does Hashem need us to do mitzvahs? No, he could do everything himself. Is giving us an opportunity to elevate ourselves by asking us and by giving us things to do. So, you know, the question then is how much are we going to buy into the process? How much are we going to gain? So the Rebbe is going to explain to us in this chapter the advantage of kavana and the two different types of kavana itself, because the kavana, and kavana is just a Hebrew word that means the proper intention, the proper state of mind, the proper emotional state. So the kavana, the emotional state and the mental state in which you do the mitzvah, the Alter Rebbe says, can be divided into two different types of motivations. One is an emotional motivation. You're excited about the mitzvah emotionally. You're excited about studying this Torah concept emotionally. It makes you happy. Or it could be the opposite. You don't do the sin because you're afraid of punishment. So the reason you don't do this thing wrong, you really have a temptation to do this, 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 whatever it is. And you really are just about to do it, but you stop. Why do you stop? You don't want to get punished. You don't want to have even people look at you maybe badly, or you don't want to, Hashem should punish you, whatever it is. So that's an emotional state also. You're afraid of punishment. You don't want Hashem should be disappointed in you. That's, you're afraid of Hashem, of incurring Hashem's displeasure. So that's also an emotional state. There, it can, however, be an intellectual state that you understand what it is that you accomplish by doing a mitzvah. You understand, as we're studying in Tanya, that by doing a mitzvah, you have certain spiritual energies that are coming into the world at large. They're coming into your family. They're coming into yourself. You understand exactly how it works and so on. And based on that understanding, that's why you're motivated. That's your kavana. That's your intention. That's your motivation. So the Alter Rebbe explains to us that these two different general categories of motivational impetus of motivation, whether it's an emotional motivation or intellectual motivation, they exist even among the angels, even among the angels. And among the angels, Alter Rebbe explained to us, this is what we spoke about last time, that there are angels in a certain spiritual level that serve Hashem based on their emotional understanding, based on their emotions, meaning they get so excited from being close to Hashem's spiritual energy that that's what motivates them, that's what drives them. There are other angels that worship Hashem and they're on a higher level. They worship Hashem based on their intellectual understanding. It doesn't mean that the lower angels don't understand, but it means that what's pushing them, what's driving them is not their understanding, but is their instinct, their instinctive love and fear. So there is an instinct, and this is what we talked about last time, when the angels have this instinct. So what is the for example, a child is motivated instinctively to love the parents. Every child instinctively loves the parent. Somebody who is not a child, who not raised by the parent, does not have that instinct. You have to have something happen in order to create an emotional connection between two people. But there's an instinct that is there amongst children. There's an instinct that's there. We're raised, let's say, for example, from a young level to have a fear of authority for whatever reason. You know, normal people who aren't raised in a bad situation have a fear of authority. So that's an example of an instinctive fear. If you see somebody coming towards you, and that individual has some level of authority, whether it's a policeman or a soldier or just your parents, if you're a young kid, or your teacher or your principal, whatever it is, you see you have some figure of authority and you're not messed up, there's an instinctive reaction that you should be afraid of them. Doesn't mean your knees are knocking and your teeth are chattering, but you're afraid, you know, authority. Here's the authority figure. So this is instinct. Now, the instinct is based, of course, on like the old Pavlovian dog story. It's based on our experience. So, but our experience is also further based on instinct. So this is what it is, a very fascinating thing. I mean, you got to talk to guys like Freud and so on to talk about, you know, what's the thing, what's the driving and what's the motivating and so on. But at any rate, there's no question that there is something called instinct. And animals have instinct, generally speaking. They don't figure things out intellectually. They have instinct. We know what it is. They don't jump off the roof. They don't do dangerous things. They take care of themselves because they have an instinct that this is going to harm them or this is going to help them. And we talk about the angels now. And we were speaking last time about the different levels of the spiritual levels, where we talked about how the different worlds spiritually, because we're talking now, with Alter Rebbe goes into some of the Kabbalistic interpretation, understanding of how the level that you're at in the spiritual world and in the chain of transmission of Hashem's energy, that's what in fact causes the ability to either understand spirituality and Hashem's, you know, greatness, or to feel without such a level of understanding. If you're on a little lower level, then you don't understand. Alter Rebbe went into the concept that there are 10 sefirot, spoke about last time, and the upper of the 3 sefirot, the first 3 of the 10, are considered to be the intellectual, the understanding part. The next 6 are considered to be the emotional part. The 10th one is the one that wraps everything up and brings it down to the next step. So we spoke about all this stuff last time. Somebody wants to have more explanation, just interrupt me and I will be happy to explain again any of these concepts. But at any rate, the general thrust of what we're saying is that depending where the person, the neshama of the Jew or the malach, the angel, is deriving its greatest amount of energy and connection, that is what determines whether that entity, angel or neshama, will be able to have an intellectual relationship with the spiritual worlds, or not as great a relationship as intellectual, but simply an instinctive, an emotional relationship. Because the energy, as we explained, does get downgraded. I don't know if downgraded is the right word, but it does get sort of concealed and covered up as it goes through each of the spiritual levels. And therefore, if this entity is at a lower part of the ladder of the chain of energy coming down, then it operates out of instinct. If it's at a higher part, it operates out of intellect. So that's the important thing. The important takeaway here is that, number one, Hashem's energy, the way it's transmitted to throughout the steps of creation, is constantly being concealed more and more as it goes further and further away. And therefore, it creates worlds and steps and stages that feel themselves more and more disconnected from Hashem, until finally it can create actually a physical world that we're living in, where Hashem's presence is completely concealed, unless you study about it, unless you contemplate and meditate and think about it. A person can think that nature runs itself. So you see that Hashem's energy is covered up more and more until it comes down to this world where it's completely covered up, so to speak. Depending on where you attach yourself and where Hashem has determined that this entity should be jumping off from, whichever step it is, that is what determines how that entity, whether it's a neshama, a soul, or a malach, an angel, has a appreciation of spirituality. The higher you are, the more you appreciate. The lower you are, the less is your appreciation. And we went through the Kabbalistic terminologies that the Zohar uses for the different worlds, the different levels. We said there are levels, so the Zohar talks about exactly what each level are. There are four general levels, and each level has 10 sefirot, 10 steps that comprise that level. Okay, so here's really where we're up to. The Tikkun HaZohar says, and this is still, we're sort of in the middle of some really deep mystical concepts here. We're explaining why it is that it's possible, or how it is that it's possible for us to really rise up in level. So in order to know how to rise in level, you have to know what the difference of the levels are to begin with. Say a person, let's say, is in a workplace, and you want to be able to, you're hired as one thing, but you want to know what's my prospects for advancement. Well, you could become a manager, and after a manager, you become a district manager, a district manager, finally you become the CEO of the company. Okay, fine, I want to know what are each of these things, what are they made up, each of these job levels, job descriptions. And is it possible for me to go higher and higher, or do I need special training? Or maybe I just don't even have, to begin with, the characteristics and the makeup that's necessary to do the higher job. So this is the first thing we want to know. We're going to go higher and higher. The point of Tanya is to teach us, Alter Rebbe is teaching us as Jews, how to be the very best Jews that we can be, meaning how to access the greatest amount of spiritual energy and the closest type of relationship that we can have with our Creator, with Hashem. So in order to know that, we have to know what are the levels, okay? What's the choices? How do we go, what are the possibilities? How high can we go? What's the CEO position? What's the district manager position? What's the lower manager position? What's the worker position? So the Alter Rebbe explains to us that the Sefirot, the levels of the 10 Sefirot, we said, are each of the four worlds, each of the four major stages, are further divided into 10 Sefirot. And we explained that this is the process that from moving to one step to another, there is always a 10-step process. I gave you the example last time of the person who's walking. In order to walk, first you have to have an intellectual activity of some sort. That means the brain has to be sending messages. There has to be something happening in the brain. And the brain sends messages through a system that we now know is called nerves. The brain sends messages to the limb that's about to move. And those messages are constantly being monitored and constantly being attenuated and being changed into be exactly the same. So exactly the right, not exactly the same, but exactly the right strength. So for example, a person wants to stretch out their hand and pick up a cup. That's a different kind of message than a person that wants to stretch out their hand and punch a punching bag. Or a person picks up a very light feather. That's a different message than a person picking up a 50-pound weight. Different message from the brain. It's the same motions, but it's a different type of final action. You're grasping stronger, you're grasping weaker, you're grasping more delicately. You move your foot this way, you move your foot that way. If a person is walking in a straight line, it's different than a person is walking zigzag. If a person is walking up a hill or down a hill or up a step or down a step, it's different than a person that's walking on a plane, in the same plane. Yeah, you're walking, you're picking up your foot and you're putting down your foot. With different sense of balance. The whole body is different. So, these are obvious things, but this is a good analogy because the process of the 10 sefirot is a process of taking the energy that's going from point A to point B and making it exactly fitting and exactly compatible with what the end desired result is. And therefore, among other things, we talk about how the 10th level is connected to the first level. Why is that? Because in order to have the proper 10th level, you have to have the 10th level communicating with the first level. That means in order for all the steps in between to be of a certain sort, the final step and the first step have to be communicating with each other. They have to be talking to each other. That means if you want to step down a step, then the brain has to already know that the foot needs to require certain things. And the foot has to be, and your equilibrium is going to be affected if you're going to be stepping down or if you're going to be jumping up. So there has to be a communication from the first to the last. And then in the middle is then fixed up, massaged, attenuated, is exactly set up so that the plan that was devised and that was intended from the first step should ultimately be what actually happens at the last step. So this is analogies that are used in Chassidus to explain all of these things. But at any rate, Hashem writ large, on a bigger, big picture, stepping back, this is how the entire energy for the entire world works. That on a small scale, a person taking a step, on a big scale, the entire energy for the whole world works the same way. And that is that it goes through these four stages, which we defined previously as the world of Atzilus, the world of Bria, the world of Yetzirah, the world of Asiya. Each of these four levels has 10 levels, which we've explained. Now means it starts with an intellectual meaning, a plan, and that plan is formed over three levels. First, you have the kernel of an idea, then you flesh out the idea, and then you exactly figure out how to attach that idea to what needs to be done. And then it goes through six levels, which we explained what the six levels are last time. But anyway, this is as we're continuing. So we're continuing now that the three sviros of Chabad, Chacham Bin Adas, which is, by the way, the reason that the Chabad movement is called the Chabad movement, is because the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, took a different approach to teaching his students, his disciples, and his followers how to serve Hashem. The other students of the great Maggid of Mizrich, Rabbi Dov Ber of Mizrich, and of the Baal Shem Tov, they had one approach, and the Alter Rebbe had a different approach. And that is, should you get your energy and excitement from your teacher, or should you get your energy and excitement on your own? Now, it doesn't mean that if you get your energy from excitement from your teacher, you don't have energy and excitement. You do. But where does it come from? It comes from the fact that you were told to do such and such. So, for example, if your teacher is excited, you go to, I don't know, art class or music class, and your teacher is excited about a certain style of painting, you know, impressionist art, modern art, whatever, some type of art. So you say, my teacher is excited, I love it. I have such great respect for my teacher that I'm also going to be this type of painter. I'm going to be an impressionist painter. Because my teacher, who I really greatly admire, what I think is the most amazing, amazing artist, and such expression and such this and such that, loves impressionist painting, I'm going to be an impressionist painter. Now, does that individual themselves have a personal preference? Maybe yes, maybe no. Obviously, if you're doing it, you appreciate it, but it's mostly because your teacher is like that. So you're always living, you're always thinking to yourself, what would my teacher do? How would my teacher act? How would my mentor do this thing and act this thing and express this thing and so on? Now, the Rebbe said that that's not really what Hashem wants from us. Hashem wants that we should be self-motivated. And we should be self-motivated means that we have to the best of our ability, develop an understanding on our own, an understanding of our own to be able to recognize why all of these actions, mitzvahs, levels, attachments, methodologies of serving Hashem, why they're important. Now, we should not fool ourselves and think that we'll be as smart as our teachers. That's not going to happen. But we should, to the best of our ability, at least understand what is the motivation, what is behind it. The other Hasidim are called Chagas Hasidim. Chagas Hasidim is an acronym for Chesed Gvura Tiferes. That means that the Hasidim are driven by the emotional excitement, emotional attachment that they have from their great teachers. And they were some amazing, amazing, amazing Hasidim and amazing attachment to all these concepts. But the teachings and the teachings of the Rebbes reflected their philosophies. So the other Hasidic movements also have amazing works of Hasidus, but of Hasidic teachings, but their Hasidic teachings do not go into the levels of explanation that we are delving into here in Tanya. They talk about the levels, but they don't explain to you how the levels work or how they interact or why they work. So the nitty-gritty is not explained. So it's as if you go to a car show, let's say, or you go to an architectural show, or you go to some show, any kind of a show of anything, a fashion show, whatever it is, and what's being displayed is the latest and the best and the greatest and the most amazing. You go to a museum, you see paintings, an art museum, whatever, some other museum. And you're exposed to all what you leave is with a sense of wonder. This is amazing. This is amazing stuff. But do you understand how the machines work? Do you understand the theory behind the art? No, you're not going to an art class. You're going to an art show. You're not going to an engineering class, a physics class. You're going to a physics show. You're going to show how robots work and the advantages in robots, the advantages in this type of thing, that type of thing. So yeah, you leave with an amazing sense of wonder. Now, do you, after leaving the main sense of wonder, will you have an appreciation and use these products if you only can? Yeah, I would love to use these products. These are amazing stuff. Look how amazing they are when they're in a display in a museum in a setting. Oh, if only I could have them in my house. So, but do you understand how they work? No, you don't. Do you want to use them? Yes, you do. Well, the Alter Rebbe had, as I mentioned to you, a different philosophy. And his philosophy was, it's not enough to just be amazed. You have to understand also. And his logic, his reasoning was very straightforward, very straightforward. And that is because Hashem wants us to use every aspect of ourselves to serve him, not just our emotion. Hashem wants us to use our intellect and not just our lower levels of intellect. Hashem wants us to apply ourselves and to understand to the maximum capacity that it's only possible for a human being to understand. Where does it say it? It says right in the Torah. It says, you should know today, you should take it to your heart, that God is God, you have to apply yourself to the nth degree of your human intellectual capacity and not be satisfied that the tzaddik tells you so. Not be satisfied that the Jew who you greatly admire for their service of Hashem is telling you this and this, and that's why you're going to do it. You need to discover this for yourself. And again, it doesn't mean you're going to be on the level of the master. Not going to happen. Forget about it. But at least you should go to the level of yourself, to the how far you can go yourself. Why am I telling you this? Because we're mentioning here Chabad. So Chabad, because there's three spheres, Chabad, Chacham Bina Das, which is the intellectual part of these 10 spheres, the part that is the planning part, so to speak, of the Ein Sof, radiates in the world of Bria. It is therefore the abode of the soul of those tzaddikim who serve Hashem with fear and love that stem from understanding and knowledge of God's greatness. This love, being called Re'usa Deliba, the heart's desire, is a desire created by intellect, as opposed to a desire that transcends, that is above intellect. From this Re'usa Deliba, a garment is formed for the soul in the world of Bria, which is the higher Garden of Eden. So I'm not going to go to all these levels. But at any rate, just understand that that's what we're talking about here. The Alter Rebbe is qualifying his earlier statement in this point. Those tzaddikim, whose souls are on the level of neshama, because we explained that the soul, the neshama itself, is divided up into five levels, and the higher of the highest of the lower part of the three levels is nefesh, ruach, and neshama. The highest part of those levels, which is called neshama, this is abiding, meaning it gets its energy from the world of Bria. Neshama represents what's called in Aramaic and Hebrew, mochin de gadlus, a superior intellectual grasp of godliness. Those who are in the level of neshama understand godliness directly, as it is, without recourse to analogy or anthropomorphic terms. That means that if I told you, a person tells somebody else, this and this is green, this color is green. Do you know what green is? Yeah, I know what green is. Let's say you're colorblind and you don't know what green is and you can only see shades of gray. So I can say, you see the way these shades of gray are, one is darker, one is lighter. The same way there is different colors, actually. There is green and there's blue and there's shades of green and there's shades. Now you can't see shades of green. You can't see shades of blue because you're colorblind. But you should just know that just like you can see shades of gray, there is something called green. It's different. I can't tell you exactly what it is because you can't see it, but there is shades of green. The same is true of all of our talking. Everything that we're saying here about the spiritual worlds, we don't see the spiritual worlds. We don't see the angels. We don't see any of this stuff. The Zohar tells us that there is spiritual worlds. And the Zohar tells us that just as we can look inside ourselves and we can understand that we have an intellectual process when it comes for us to do something, and that intellectual process then produces an emotional process which eventually produces the action, the same is true of Hashem. So this is an analogy. This is called anthropomorphic. Anthropomorphic means when you take spiritual concepts and you apply human any concept, you apply human things. So you take a tree, you talk about a tree, the tree was shaking in the wind like an old man. That's anthropomorphic. You use human terms to describe something that's not human. So you take human terms and you describe something that is spiritual. That's anthropomorphic. We're using things that we're familiar with, and we use that terminology to describe something that we not only not familiar, but we're never going to be familiar with that thing directly because we can't see it. We totally can't see it. It's not in our entire experiential realm at all. What about if a person is not colorblind? What if a person can see green and blue and shades of green and shades of blue? That person doesn't need an analogy. That person doesn't need a parable. That person doesn't need something to be told to them that it's like this is not what's like this. I can see green. Don't tell me what it's like. I see that this is dark green, this is light green. I see that this is dark blue, this is light blue. Don't tell me about shades of gray. You're just wasting your time and my time. The tzaddik is able to see the spiritual energy to begin with. The tzaddik doesn't need to have somebody explain to them that you should know that the world of Bria has energy. That such and such, like, oh, don't tell me what it's like. I can see the energy. So that is a huge, huge difference, as you understand. It's a huge difference. So what I told you before, the Alter Rebbe's philosophy is that we as Jews should attain the most level of understanding that we can, but we should not think and fool ourselves that we can understand what others understand. That's why the Alter Rebbe was able to see these levels. And then he explained to us why these levels work the way they work, which is what he's doing here, right here in this chapter, for example. And then we can understand, according to the limits of our capacity to understand, we can understand how the levels work. But the Alter Rebbe saw the levels. We don't see the levels. That is a huge difference. It's not even a difference in quantity. It's a qualitative difference. It's not even a difference in quality. It's a difference in being alive and being dead. It's a difference in being a human to being an animal. It's a difference in being intellectual to being instinctive. So this is huge differences that we're talking about here. The angels that are in the world of Bria versus the angels in the world of Yetzirah. The angels that are serving Hashem with an intellectual understanding versus the angels serving Hashem with an emotional understanding. That means that they don't understand. They don't see. They see the effect. So let's say, for example, you have a person who sees that the house is shaking and the trees are shaking and the ground is shaking. What's happening is a hurricane. You don't know about hurricanes, but you see that everything is shaking. Boy, are you afraid? Of course you're afraid. Usually things aren't shaking. Now things are shaking. But let's say you know that around the corner, 500 miles away, 5 miles away, 100 miles away, 1,000 miles away, there is a hurricane. And that hurricane has already destroyed this island and that island and this thing and that. Are you afraid now? Boy, are you afraid. So why are you afraid? Are you afraid because of just because you have the sense of something bad? No, you're afraid because you know what's going to happen if that thing doesn't change course and stays the same power. And the opposite is true too. If, on the good side, a person feels that something is really sweet, something really great, and versus a person knows the effect that it has on you, whatever it is. It's totally different. We're talking about two totally different, not totally different people, but totally different planets, completely different. So this is the huge difference between the neshamas that are in these levels versus the neshamas in the lower levels. And the same thing is true of the malachim, the angels, that are the higher levels versus the malachim and the angels in lower levels. So as we're explaining here, that this applies specifically to the actual level of neshama of those tzaddikim. We continue to say that there is certain times when the tzaddikim have yet greater fear and love. That's when is that? On Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, times when there is a gift that's given to the neshamas, and they're able to rise up and they're able to somehow grasp a little bit more of the energy. I think maybe we'll stop with this. If somebody has something that they want, it's really getting to some deeper spirit, mystical stuff, Kabbalistic stuff. That the kavana is incredibly important to the performance of the mitzvah, and we are differently. It's